So, folks, today's the title for today's study here is a little personal thing, you know, with me is I talk to animals. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to start breaking out into song like Dr. Doolittle or Clint Eastwood talking to the trees. But we do have a measure of conversation with animals. I think that ever since I could walk, I had a fascination with critters. I lived with my grandparents and the backyard grass had these tiny white flowers that would attract bees, and I always had a jar that I could capture the bees until I had a full jar of bees. Inevitably, though, I would be crying in pain because I was stung by bees. Eventually, after continually catching these bees and getting stung, my grandmother got tired of hearing my crying and complaints and told me not to mess with the bees. I didn't listen because it was fun. I wasn't harming the bees, only inconveniencing them for a while before I would release them. But as it goes, I got stung. And then I got stung again but not by the bees, but my grandmother's little leather belt because I disobeyed her. I'm in my 60s now, and I still have a fascination with the critters, whether they are big animals or little bugs. And through all my encounters with the critters, yes, I've been stung by a lot of bees, stung by wasps, stung by scorpions, bitten numerous times by ants, bitten by dogs, cats, mice, and rats. Oh, and don't forget the occasional snake, though not venomous. My wife and I have even dove with numerous fish, sharks, stingrays, and eels. And oh yes, a jellyfish sting. Just on our property here in Phoenix, we have quail, ground squirrels, lizards, dove, woodpeckers, great horned owls, various hawks, javelina, coyotes, rabbits, and an assorted group of spiders, I might add. I have been blessed with being able to sit with squirrels and have peanuts, sit with javelina while they have vegetable cuttings, and have one coyote that comes around and will watch me sometimes when I am out on the property photographing a sunset or a sunrise. Well, just the other day, when I was exiting my truck, a fly came up and landed on the edge of the bed of the truck. I took a close look at him, and though it may seem silly to some, I said hello, and he turned around with his big red eyes to see me, rubbed his feet together a couple of times, turned and looked away. I said hello again, and he turned back to look at me, rubbed his feet a couple of times, and then flew off. These are just a few of the blessings that I have had the privilege to experience. I have touched nature and certainly have been touched by nature. The critters are all wonderful, and a lot has been spoken of them in Scripture. So we'll go to Proverbs 12:10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. In a measure of antithetical parallelism, this verse compares the two as good and evil in such a fashion that illustrates the seemingly good action of an evil person is still cruel, because their motivation is based in exploitative and self-serving actions. Matthew 6:26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? The explanation for Matthew 26 was given in the previous line of Scripture and speaks of the faith one must have in the Lord to provide, for he loves us and desires the best for us. And we'll go to Matthew 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? We'll go to Genesis 1:21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Job 12:7. But ask not the beasts, and they shall teach thee. Read it right, Chico. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? We can learn profound spiritual lessons by observing that what occurs in nature. It seems to me that nature is aware of a foundational truth. And if we paid heed to the workings of the earth and observed the behavior of the animals, then we too would possess cognizance of a creator. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then in Genesis 1:30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And I'll go to Isaiah 11, and I'll go 6 through 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Do you think this speaks to the point of the animals having a sense of God? It makes perfect sense to me, and again, it gives us more reason to observe that which God has created and engage what we see in our learning and understanding. Now, I'm not saying that the animals, when we're not looking, they're all getting together and gathering and, you know, let us pray and stuff like that. But something that we're really not aware of, it seems that they do have an awareness of, you know, something that is innate. Luke 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Psalm 8:6-9. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Luke 3, 4 through 6. Yes. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. All flesh. John preached in the wilderness, which removed people from the distractions of normal life and inclined them to focus on God. Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Let's see. Psalm 104:21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. This goes to show that even the top levels of the animal kingdom are reliant for their sustenance on the workings of God. Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And so, everyone talks to the animals and calls them by name to this day. Jeremiah 8:7. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. The animals do know the calling that awaits them, but unless we have addressed the mystery, we do not know for us what the animals know for themselves. And again, I'm not saying it's the same knowledge that we have. And I think it's beyond something that we can fully comprehend. But they are of God's creation. And it makes sense that there would be some awareness of what is around them. And yes, Melanie, scorpions. Let me say it's very painful. And when you go to the doctor, they look at you like, too bad, because there's not much that can be done except a lot of ice. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so now we have been given our first charge to address the creatures. In Deuteronomy 22:6. Through 7, 22:6-7. If a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way, in any tree, or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. But thou shalt anywise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. The dam, being the mother, cannot be taken with the young or the eggs, so that a balance in nature set by the Lord is maintained, and the mother does not suffer the loss of her life, rather she is able to continue to lay more eggs. It's kind of makes you think about going out to the chicken coop. You take the eggs, and we'll take the hen because I want some chicken tonight. Next day, next couple of days, you don't have any more eggs for breakfast, and you certainly don't have a chicken for dinner. Hosea 2:18, and in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword, the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. God declares that he will restore his people and establish peace in nature. Genesis 6:19. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. God spoke to the animals and gave them directions, but only two of each were to survive. Deuteronomy 22:10. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. We can look to 2 Corinthians 6:14 regarding the metaphor. And in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Psalm 150:6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Every living thing is made to worship God, and all the breath therein is a gift from God. Exodus 20:10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. And let's see, was there something Yes. So in this Exodus 20:10, we see that even the ox was bade rest on the Sabbath. We'll go to Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. What more can be said here? Everyone knows this event. God directed this fish to swallow Jonah. That should strike a little fear into some of you fishermen. Genesis 9:2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Many a child has spent a great deal of time attempting to befriend various critters, in a lot of cases to no avail. This desire for some of us remains in perpetuity through our adult life, and there are times where the fear and dread of us is at least assuaged in some small manner with one or two creatures, and some satisfaction is garnered from that relationship. Luke 14:5. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? We learn from the use of an ass or an ox in the need of preservation outweighs sometimes strict and hypocritical views of not working on the Sabbath. Salvation of life should always take precedence. 1 Samuel 17:34. And David said unto Saul, thy servants kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. David learned from his time tending the flock blessings that would serve him well when facing Goliath. Genesis 9:9. And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. The covenant was made not just with Noah and his family and those that would follow, but was established with all the animals in the ark. Deuteronomy 22:4. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. This command calls for active compassion, encouraging people to overcome indifference and help others through their daily struggles. We are so closely intertwined with nature as part of the mechanisms and workings that God has set in motion. We have pets that we love and are part of our family. No matter where we go, the critters are with us, and at every turn, there is something to be learned or experienced, whether it is annoyance, fascination, entertaining, or enlightening. We observe the ants, or keep, whether observing the ants or keeping one's eye on the sparrow, realize the knowledge of the workings of the Lord are with us, and all we need to do is keep our eyes open, our hearts ready, and our minds prepared for knowledge that will come, and we can use the wisdom God has bestowed upon us. Here's a little poem here put together entitled, God Spoke and It Was So. Out of the stillness, the word was spoken, and the quiet expanse of the deep was broken. With power and grace in every design, God fashioned the creatures of flesh and divine. He called to the waters, vibrant and bright and wide, and life sprang forth in the surging tide. Gliding through depths where sunlight gleams, whales in the oceans and fish in the streams, he shaped the birds for the towering sky, teaching their wings how to soar and fly. From the eagle perched on the mountain height, to the hummingbird dancing in the morning light. Across the green valleys and forests grand, he crafted the wild beast to walk the land. The lion in majesty, bold and brave, the gentle deer by the woodland cave. The sheep in the meadow, the cattle in herds, every creature grander than mortal words. The tiny ants marching, the sparrow in flight, all held in his wonder, all made in his sight. Each breath they draw is a witness above, a living mosaic of power and love. For the earth is full of the works of his hand, and his glory echoes across the land. And one last thing here in Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Father in heaven, we know by seeing all that is around us, the immeasurable wonder of your creation, that it is with reasonable belief we know you, God, and therefore there is no excuse in deniability. So we pray to you, Lord, and give thanks for the mercy you show us and the pathway to salvation you provide by way of the sacrifice of your only begotten Son, Christ Jesus. And thus we say, Amen.